Ephesians chapter 5, in your Bibles, if you would, tonight, we're going to continue to look at different characteristics of the Christian life. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please. And for sake of time, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I'll read a little ways, and then we'll start with a word of prayer and continue on with the message tonight. But this particular characteristic, if you will, is one that we all could use a little development on. It is that of being observant. Observant. It's funny how Christians are kind of the stick-your-head-in-the-sand kind of individual. If it doesn't have anything to do with me or my family or my immediate surroundings, then I want to be oblivious to all of it. That's part of being observant or not. And then the other is that of actually executing of what we know and what we have learned and what we know we ought to do. And then likewise, it's kind of just like, well, if it suits me, then I will. And if it doesn't suit me, then I won't. Well, that's just not being very observant. And we as believers need to be more observant. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 5? Just follow along as I read. Here, we'll start in verse 1. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Being observant simply means, three or four different circumstances and definitions, rather. First of all, is taking notice. That's one everybody thinks of, right? Being observant is taking notice or being attentive in viewing or noticing something. So that's the one most people kind of key on, all right? But it also means being obedient. So if you are observant, you obey, all right? So in other words, if somebody puts forth a rule or a law, you do it. That's being observant, right? If we observe the speed limit, and everybody hysterically laughed, right? No, we should, right? Observe the speed limit. Or observe the local ordinances or the laws of the city or the county or the state or the country, right? If you follow the laws, then you are observant of those said laws. You are obedient and adhering to in practice. But also observant simply means to be carefully attentive and submissive to an authority. That's also being observant. So you see, observant is a little bit more than what we kind of think it to be on the surface, isn't it? When maybe I said that we're going to talk about this characteristic of being observant, You thought maybe it meant that we're just going to make sure we pay attention to what's going on around us. And that's part of it. You ought to pay attention to what's going on about you. Okay? And that's what God wants us to do and wants us to be. Not to, like I said in the beginning, to stick your head in the sand and just say nothing's happening and I'm going to ignore it all. But rather, we do need to pay attention. Why do you think he told us about the end times? Why do you think he told us about things that are to come? Why do you think he told us to be careful of those that may be wolves in sheep's clothing and all these different things? Well, because we're supposed to be observant. I mean, should the those in the community of God, those that are a part of his kingdom, just be completely oblivious to everything going on about them? No. They should be responsible servants. Right? If the enemy is coming, shouldn't the servants be the ones to sound the alarm? To pass on the information that something's happening in the kingdom or about them and such and so forth? Absolutely. Hey, a brother and sister of Christ, they have a need. We need to kind of be aware of that need. And sometimes they're not going to tell you. You just kind of need to observe. Now, be careful jumping to conclusions about things, but we do need to be observant. You know, we can all notice, hey, that they haven't been in church for a little bit. Maybe there's something going on in life. Now, don't jump to conclusions. Oh, they must have fallen into sin and they're backslidden. And okay, hold on a second. Whoa! That's not necessarily the case, you understand. But do notice things. You know, oh, they've been a little down or they've, you know, this or that, or maybe they're not, maybe something's bothering them, maybe not, but at least we should kind of pay attention. Be aware of our surroundings and things that are going on. We're supposed to care for one another. We're supposed to be there for one another. We're supposed to be looking for those that would receive Christ as their Savior. We're supposed to be adhering to and submitting to the laws of God and being what God wants us to be and living up to what he says that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's all part of being an observant believer. So we need to be observant. We need to work at being more observant in our lives. So I just kind of worked out some categories that we could pay attention to in our lives to be more observant. Now this can be known as taking notice, attentively viewing, obedient, adhering to, carefully attentive to, or submissive to in each of these categories. Because being observant spans all of those ideas. So first of all, take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We've been here before many times, but it bears going over again. First of all, we need to be observant to the Word. Observant to the Word. In Deuteronomy 5, if you look at verse 31, it says, "But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee of all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." Then in Leviticus, God says again, "Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord." As they continued past Moses' leadership into Joshua's leadership, God told Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 7 through 9, he said, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest," he finally uses the word here, "observe. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe, there it is again, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now you notice there in that charge to Joshua, that he tells him to observe all and do all that he had been commanded. And then he would have success. And then he would have protection. And then he would have God going before him and with him in all of his conquests. What do you want God to do for you? You want him to be there for you? Then we need to be observant. We need to observe all that is written therein. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left. God wants us to be successful. He wants us to go forward with prosperity wherever we go. But we need to observe all the law. We need to observe to do according to what he's told us to do. Is that not reasonable? He's given us the law to look over. We are not ignorant of his commands. At least we have no excuse of such. So we need to follow the word of God. We need to take notice to it. We need to attentively view it. We need to be obedient to it, adhere to it in practice. Be carefully attentive and submissive to the wonderful word of God. That's the kind of believer he wants us to be. In 2 Kings, children of Israel had gone up and down in their life. And in Josiah's reign, it says, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They were not observers. But then they read the book of the law, and they found the book of the law, and they decided that they were going to observe all that God had commanded them to do. Have there been times in your life where you've gone away from the word of God and observing the word of God as you should? We need to be more observant to God and his word. In Psalm 105, in verses 42 and 45, it says, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and with his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. Why? Why did God do all this? You wonder. Well, he explains. That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. That's interesting, isn't it? It says here, he remembered his promise. He brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. He gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. And then he says that. In other words, the reason for all that is so that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Has not God provided everything for us? We've already talked about God's provision, have we not? And didn't God keep his promise to us? And when we called out to him for salvation, he saved us and gave us all that we needed and provided everything, including the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, so that we could be successful servants to him. And with joy, and with gladness, and abundance, and love. Why? I already quoted to you what it says in Ephesians. That we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That we should walk in them. We should be observant to God and His Word. Praise ye the Lord. Remember Psalm 119, the Hebrew letter He, in 33 through 40? Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Does that sound like someone who's observant to God and to his word? It does. He says, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Be observant to the word. Now take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Not only do we need to be observant to the word, we need to be observant to the work. Observant to the work. Remember, this is the, those of you maybe have, hope you have heard what I say about this passage of scripture, but it's my opinion that Jesus is kind of chiding his disciples a little bit because they've missed some opportunities here. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He went there. He sat at the well. His disciples went into town to buy food. And as far as we know, they didn't talk to anybody about Jesus in that country. Now, they're Jews. And those are Samaritans. So it may have been that being an issue. Which it should not be an issue. Because they're to preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? So they should have told the woman who obviously was coming past them to go to the well, considering the timeline. And then when she went back into town, she passed them again, more than likely. Again, this is suppositions. It's not recorded in scripture. But they went to town to buy food. And as far as we know, only the woman that was saved at the well went back into town and told the whole town to come out to the well to see Jesus and meet him as their savior. The disciples, as far as we know, did not. They did not even hand out a gospel tract. As far as we know. And so I think that this is, if you look at the tone of this, Jesus Christ is kind of getting after these guys. And saying, hey, be observant to the work. Hello. Y'all were observant to your bellies because you were hungry from the trip and you went in town to buy food. And this is what he says in verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, be observant. That's in parentheses. Look, he says, guys, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. So you see this tone here. He's not very happy with them. Because they're not being observant. And let me just in short say this. How many people have we, and I'll include myself in this, passed by and not seen them? You know what I'm saying? We didn't see them for who and what they were. That they were lost and undone, without hope. And we didn't even give them a gospel tract. Because we had an appointment to keep. Because we had to be somewhere. Or because we just weren't thinking about it. Or we were too worried about making sure that we got the right condiments on our hamburger. And we didn't care about the soul that was handing us the hamburger. If they were going to die and go to hell. Or if they were going to go to heaven. Yeah, I'm being a little rough. But can I say I'm being rough on me too? I think he was a little rough with his disciples. See, God sent you guys. And we had to rely on a woman who had had five husbands and was currently living with one that wasn't her husband. And we had to rely on her to go tell the town. And you guys that have been walking with me and being taught with me all this time, you were supposed to do it. The Samaritan woman did better than you all. Can I say, we need to be more observant to the work. We need to lift up our eyes. We need to look on the fields. Remember what it says in Mark 13? But of the day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I think he's telling us to be observant. Wait to the work. What do you think? Jesus said he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or the handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They're in darkness. Did not Jesus say we're the light of the world? We're the salt of the earth? We're supposed to be shining Jesus Christ to others so that they can see him for who he is and trust him as their Savior. But if we're not observant to the work, if he comes and he finds us sleeping, what a shame. What a shame. We need to be observant to the work that he has sent us to do. You know what? We have entered into his labors. Jesus said, even so, the Father has sent me, even so send I you. God sent the Son, and the Son has sent us, and we need to be observant to the work. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Can I tell you something? I've said this before, and I believe this. That if you take away the chapter and verse designations from here, it rolls right into chapter 10 and verse 1 and says that he sent them out two by two. He said, pray for laborers. In other words, y'all need to be prayed up because you're going out. Folks, we need to be observant to the work that God has called us to do. He didn't save us to sit around and enjoy the benefits of having eternal life. We're supposed to do something with it. We're supposed to pass it on to somebody else. We're supposed to use this mouth to speak the wonderful works of God to others, so that their eyes can be opened and they can be discarded from the blindness that the God of this world, Satan, as he has blinded the eyes, so they will not see the glorious light of the gospel. We can do something about it if we'll be observant to the work. Well, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You're doing pretty well, although we only have 2 minutes to cover this point. So you turn to 2 Timothy, I'll read some other verses to you. Proverbs 4, Solomon says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Can I sum that up for you? Be observant. Okay, good. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Here it is again. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In Proverbs 23, Solomon continued and said, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. And she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. So not only do we need to be observant to the word, and observant to the work, but lastly tonight, we need to be observant to the war. To the war. You know, there's a battle raging, not only about us, for the souls of men, but within us, there's a battle raging. Between the carnal man and the spiritual man. You think Satan's just going to sit back and not do anything when God's people go out and observe the word and observe the work? He say, I've lost. I'm just going to go do something else. Maybe I'll start a snow cone stand or something. It's hot down here. Come on. Really? No, he's an adversary. He's a roaring lion. He told Peter, Satan hath desired to have you and sift you as wheat. And boy, did Satan have a time with him. Can I tell you something? Satan's not going to leave us alone. He's not just going to let us be. It's a war. And not only that, we have to fight him, but we've got to fight ourselves. Because this old flesh is bent toward hell. It wants sin. It loves sin. It takes pleasure in it. And if you're not careful, that's where it will draw you. You've got to fight. You be careful, because he's not going to just jump out at you with a red suit and horns and a pitchfork and say, run, the devil, serve me. Okay? Not doing that. He's going to trick you into it. He's subtle. And we've got to pay attention. Are you there in 2 Timothy 2? Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. We need to be observant to this war going on about us, folks. We can't just stick our head in the sand. We can't just ignore it. It won't just go away. We've got to pay attention. In Matthew 26, he told his disciples, while he was in agony there praying before his time of being crucified and betrayal, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Yeah. And he saith unto Peter, boy, that's personal. You know, there were three of them there. Why is he picking on poor Peter? James and John were sleeping too. He said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And listen. What? Could you not read your Bible through in 2021? Sorry, I didn't mean to throw punches at anybody. What? Could you not pray a little bit each day? What? Could you not say no to the flesh? What? Could you not give out a gospel tract? What? It's a war, folks. We're in battle. And if Peter, James, and John had a hard time with this, oh boy, are we better than them? Now, it's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. We know that. But do you think you're a better Christian than Peter, James, and John? I don't know that I am. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing. The flesh is weak. Hey, can I tell you something? He's asked us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's also given us all the armor and protection that we need. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, and having done all, to stand. Have you done all to stand? Have you put on the whole armor of God? Or have you left off part of it? Or let some of it just kind of sit there in the closet? I don't have time to go through Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. But you know what? I agree with Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am. Because we would that we did not, and could that we did not, and would that we should not, and do not, and whatever not. Finding a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. It's a battlefield, folks. It's a war. Not only is Satan not wanting people to see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, he wants to keep them in darkness. We're going to have to fight to get him the gospel. We also have to fight ourselves each and every day. In order to walk in the Spirit. I'll leave you with Galatians 5. It says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I just wanted to be a help and a blessing to you. And by no means am I trying to condemn anyone here. And y'all know that. But it's for all of us. We all need to be more observant. Observant to the word. Observant to the work. And observant to the war. How you doing on being observant? Could we do better? Probably. Do we need to do better? Yes. Yes, we do.